Welcome to services at Fruitland Baptist Church. What a wonderful day God's given us. He has a reason and a purpose in it. Let's find that today, and maybe you already have, and see that come to fruition. Let's stand if you're able. This is our call to worship on the screen this morning. We will lift up the name of the Lord. We'll sing it twice, and then Lonnie's going to pray this morning for our invocation. So here we go. Up the name of the Lord, lift up his name in the highest places, wonderful Savior, mighty Redeemer, bless the name of the Lord. Oh, we will lift up the name of the Lord, lift up his name in the highest places, wonderful Savior, mighty Redeemer, bless the name of the Lord. May that be our desire this morning. Lonnie?
I'm going to shed some light, folks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you most of all, Lord, for safety. Thank you for the beautiful day, Lord, you've given us today. The sunshine, I know it's colder, Lord, but it's still a beautiful day. Thank you for our church, Lord, the folks that showed up today to hear just a little bit of your word. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. Lord, again, we know it's problems, but we thank you so much for it. We pray, Lord, that our leaders might ask you for a little bit of help, Lord, in guiding our nation. Thank you, Lord, again, just for safety from the storms. We thank you for the rains that we did get. Pray for those, Lord, that might have been affected by it, and you might help out today, get folks back on their way. Lord, we had a good week. Thank you so much for it. Just being there for us, Lord. Thank you for that, knowing that you're there. We pray today, Lord, for folks overseas that are in a bit of trouble, Lord. I just ask that you might guide and direct there. Most of all, Lord, that your will be done in those situations. Be it those, Lord, that might know you especially, that you'd help protect them. Today, Lord, a pastor made it here to church today, he and his wife. Pastor's got something to preach to us about today, Lord. I just ask you to guide and direct him today, Lord. May the Holy Spirit use him, Lord, for whatever it is that you put in his heart, Lord, to give to us today, that it might speak to someone. And, Lord, if someone's here today that needs to know you, that person would get right before they leave. Thank you for this time today. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And we have a handout of Shout to the Lord. Oh, I about lost my glasses. Here we go. Announcements, I guess. Okay, here we go. We have evening service tonight at 6 o'clock, and we have communion later on, so don't forget about that. The message is entitled tonight, God and Complainers. Women's Bible study is going to meet on the 19th. Please check with Beth to make sure the date is still correct. If you are new to the group, please call Beth at 319-270-2836. She'll confirm the date and or add to the group there. Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet on the 12th and 26th. And they're going to have a trip to Walcott Truck Museum on the 19th at 9 o'clock in the morning. See Doug Chatfield for details on that. We have a deacons meeting scheduled for the 17th at 6 o'clock. Our nominating committee for our upcoming annual business meeting, it meets on March 13th, right after the morning service. And then Wilton Bible Study on the 17th and 31st at 6 o'clock. The agenda items for our annual meeting, they are due no later than the 13th in the morning, and give them to Pastor or Deb. Pastor's thought for the week, if you don't do your part, don't blame God.
Amen.
Okay. Wow, let's see. Today, if you have an offering, you know, make sure you put it in the back because of the COVID situation still going on. And at this time, we're going to pray for that. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you for getting us here to church, Lord. Now we just want to take a time, Lord, to try to attempt to give a small portion back to you, Lord. Help us to remember, Lord, to be cheerful when we do so. But, Lord, that we might give some of this stuff back to you, Lord, to be used in, for your honor and your glory in any way you need in our church and in our world that we live in. Thank you for this time today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Words to live by, folks, right there. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Jason, your turn, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. Well, today I'm filling in for a special that wasn't scheduled here, so I thought instead of playing the guitar, we'd do a little unscripted exercise this morning. I'm just kidding. I'm still going to play. But everybody that can, stand up for a second. And I want you guys to shake your arms like this and shake your legs a little bit. All right, nobody say anything. All right, you hear that? Anybody hear the shackles jingling? Who likes their freedom this morning? Yeah. Amen. And despite all appearances, we're not Pentecostal. You guys can sit back down. Well, amen. So, Pastor, I'm going to pick on you for a second as a change here. Why aren't you wearing your shackles this morning?
My shackles? Because Jesus threw them off of me. I'm no longer chained.
Where are your physical shackles? Where are your physical shackles? Do you wear them?
What are you directing to?
Do you wear chains and shackles because you like to?
No, I've carried a lot of chains before.
All right. Well, nobody walks around wearing shackles, right? Physical shackles, right? Yeah. Nobody chooses to wear that because they're not comfortable.
Right.
And, just kind of leading up into the song here, everyone here enjoys their freedom. And we do a lot of things that we couldn't if we didn't have that freedom. And we're not certainly going to put on shackles for no reason at all.
Yeah.
And you say, why is this country free? Well, we know as Christians that we're free because of God's blessing.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of bumper stickers out in the road that say, land of the free because of the brave.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're right. But, you know, without God's blessing, let me tell this to the children of Israel, without God's blessing, you can march out with the Ark of the Covenant and it's not going to help you.
Yeah.
You know, so we've had somebody brave that's died for us to remove our shackles and give us freedom. So are we walking in that joy and that freedom today as Christians? And that's just something to think about. And our message later is about a tender heart. And do we have tender hearts? And are we accepting and walking in the joy of the freedom that Jesus Christ has given us?
Yeah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious day that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Praise God. Yep. Man.
Thanks, Jason. Doug has a bit of scripture to read for us now.
Thank you, Jason, for that rousing number. Our reading this morning is from Luke. Chapter 18, verses 8 through 14. And here we have another account of Jesus dealing with the Pharisees. And this time he decides to share a parable with them, talk about the Pharisees and the publican. So starting out in verse 9, actually, of Luke 18, And he spoke unto and he spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and departed and despised others. Excuse me. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisees and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes at all that I possess. And the tax collectors standing afar off, would not lift up and as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house and instilled rather than the other, and for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So certainly Jesus, you know, he was God in the flesh, so he knew exactly how to address those who thought they were more holy than others and think that they were closer to God just because of who they were and what they did. But Jesus showed them that humility is the key to establishing the relationship with him.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful day it is that God's given us. Welcome to one and all. We're glad for everyone that's come through the doors this morning. Thankful again for your presence and fellowship today as we honor the Lord Jesus Christ and bring praise and honor to his name. If you're here by any chance for the first time ever, we're glad to have you. Hope it won't be your last, and excited about what God is doing in our work here at Fruitland, in his work here at Fruitland, I should really say. And Lonnie, I really appreciate that when you pray for me at the beginning of a message. And some of you know, several years back, someone gave me two joke books. And I think that, you know, maybe they thought I need to do a little more joking around. Some of you know I'm pretty serious-minded about the things of the Lord. But I've always figured, you know, that with me up here behind the pulpit, that's enough of a joke in and of itself. Right? But I'm reminded when Lonnie prayed, he was thankful that I'm here today. I'm reminded, and some of you may have heard this from me before, but I get a chuckle out of this all the time. But you have a husband and wife early on a Sunday morning laying in bed, contemplating getting up. I assume that could be a problem in many homes on Sundays. But the wife says, you know, you better get up. It's time to go to church. And the husband says, but I don't want to go to church today. I don't feel like it today. She says, well, you know, the time is drawing close here. If you don't get up, you're going to be late for church. But I don't want to go today. And finally, the wife comes at him with this thought. She says, well, you know what? You are the pastor. We fight those things, though, don't we, in all truth? It's a hard thing sometimes to come to the gathering of the flock. I hope it's a good day for you today and I that we'll rejoice again, bringing praises to the Lord. Well, this morning, the title of our message is Gaining or Regaining a Tender Heart. You know, my preaching usually isn't the type of preaching where I stare people down, and I'm not going to do that today. But I pray today that God's Word will cause you to examine your life, and that it will cause me to examine my life if we really are operating with a tender heart toward God. Because I believe this, it's possible that every one of us in this room today lack a tender heart for God. And thusly, if we lack a tender heart for God, we're going to lack a tender heart for people. And that's a big problem, folks, I believe with all my heart. There's probably people that are not filling these seats this morning because their hearts are hard. We'll examine that in our message this morning, but before we go any further, we need to what?
Pray.
pray again and pray again and pray again. But I do thank you for your intercessory prayers on my behalf to deliver the Word of God and to continue on. And believe me, it's my desire always to uphold this congregation individually and corporately in prayer. Let's go to the Lord. Father, what a great thing it is that we can approach your throne today on the merits and basis of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his intercessory work and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, today, Lord, this is a very serious issue. Truthfully, Lord, as I prepared this message, I think every one of us ought to be on our knees today, and every one of us calling on you for mercy, just as that scriptural account there of the parable you spoke that Doug read earlier. We got some problems here, Lord. It's not just unique to us here at Fruitland, but it's unique to mankind, and it deals with the heart. So I pray today, Lord, that the Spirit will have free course, that he'll move, and Lord, we'll get as far as we can in this message. If we don't get it done, we know there's plenty there to bring us back, and there's reasons why we may have to come back for that again, Lord, because we need a tune-up. And I'm telling you that right here, number one, from the pulpit. That's me, what I'm referring to. Now, Lord, again, I ask your help today. I need it. I'm weak, but you're strong. I just pray the Spirit will have free course. And again, another opportunity. You've spared us again for another week with your grace and mercy. Help us not to squander that which you've given us today, the gift of time and another day. Now, I ask, again, your presence with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. By the way, I'm always excited to deliver these messages. You may not see that in me, but I am. I really do. I really like sharing what God's Word has to say. But this morning, as I always say, or usually close to this, friends in Christ, I've been led to speak this morning on the subject of gaining or regaining a tender heart. Because yes, I do believe you can lose a tender heart. And let me just say, the cares of this world, the things that take place, the cynical thinking that we have today. By the way, we are not a defeated people. We don't know what will happen in the future with all the nations of the world. Look at Ukraine. Look at what's taken place in that part of the world in the last 25 years since the fall, or more, since the fall of the Iron Curtain. The things that have taken place, and yet these type of things happen. We don't know from day to day what may happen in this world. But Hebrews 13:8 says in my Bible, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are not defeated here, and we have not been deleted from his program. So we have every reason to have a heart that wants to be involved with his program today. So today is a day to either gain a tender heart or regain a tender heart for people and for God's program. I believe it is accurately stated that many, if not most people, believers or non-believers, whatever category we fall in, and by the way, there's only two, we struggle with the affliction of a hardened heart. Now, let's face it, the heart is a major muscle organ that circulates life-giving blood in our bodies. And when we have problems, we're ready to run to a heart doctor, a cardiologist, or a specialist. But when we have a hardened heart problem, we need to run to the doctor as well. And that's Dr. Jesus, the great physician. So this morning, and I'll admit, I already did, I struggle with this sin. It's a sin. So this morning, some helps in gaining or regaining a tender heart. First thing, the definition of a hardened heart. By the way, does everyone have a handout? Because I don't have it up on the device. Okay. But be ready this morning, we're going to use our Bibles. But the definition of a hardened, stony heart is when God's Word has little to no effect on the response you have toward yourself, others, and God. You don't have to go to a doctor for a diagnosis. Every one of us in this room knows where we stand with that very issue. That's the definition. When God's Word has little to no effect on the response you have toward yourself, others, and God. That's the definition of a stony heart. Let's go to Matthew 13 to begin with today, 11 through 15. Matthew chapter 13, 11 through 15, either in your paper Bibles or your handheld. I got chastised the other night for using the word device. So whatever you call the thing that you hold in your hand, whether you've got an iPad this morning or a phone, whatever the case may be. Let's go to that this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, 11 through 15. By the way, this hard heart thing is not something that just came on the scene in the last few years. It's been there since the fall of man. And there's examples in this book, in God's love letter from cover to cover, of the troubles that are caused by it in our relationships, again, with God and with people. What Jesus is quoting here this morning in Matthew 13 is a direct quote from Isaiah chapter 6. When God called Isaiah to go to the people of Israel, he basically said, and we studied this a month or two ago in here just a moment, he basically said, go to them, Isaiah, preach the word, a few will hear, but most of them will what? They'll hear it, but they won't respond. And the reason they won't respond is because they've got a heart of stone. Anyway, here's what Jesus said, Matthew 13, 11 through 15. He answered and said unto them, by the way, what had Jesus spoken right prior to this? He was using another parable in his teaching, and he was talking about the sower and the soils. But he answers, again, the disciples that had this question, and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. He's talking about the people that don't comprehend it. Doesn't that worry and concern you today? It doesn't worry me, but it concerns me today that people go through the motions. They hear, but they don't respond. And the person that I'm most concerned with regard to that is who? Me. He said, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And we say, why is this, Lord? That's not fair. But that's not what Jesus is saying. They were given it, but their hearts would not allow them to receive it. When the seed was sown, it fell on different types of ground that Jesus gives in that parable, and only a few of the seeds came and had an impact. He says in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. These are good words to pay attention to, my friends, this morning. Because if we have a person in this room, and I know we do, all of us, very likely, that have a hardened heart, the things that we reject are going to be taken away from us. Not because Jesus wants to penalize us, but he's going to remove that from our heart. Why? Because we chose to reject it. This is dangerous stuff. He goes on in verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables. Jesus, people didn't comprehend it, but Jesus says, if your heart's soft, you'll be able to understand a parable. A parable is just a comparison that gives a situation that is like something that you can grasp, but some failed to get it. Maybe today we fail, and if that's the case, it's a sign of a hardened heart. And he says, therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. They saw it, they heard it, but they didn't get it. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, or Esaias, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, these are the words of Jesus, is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be, the King James Version uses the word converted, changed. We hear this thing about change all the time, brought about, we need change. Well, here's where change starts, folks. It changes in the heart. When we stop having a heart of stone, and have a heart that is receptive to the seeds of God's word. That's when you'll change. He says they're going to fight that, lest they be converted and they should be healed. If you're sick here today, excuse me, that was a piece of fuzz that went out there. If you're sick here today, go to the doctor and be healed. Jesus is waiting to heal them today. That's a direct quote from Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. Hebrews 4, 12 says, for the word of God is quick. In the King James, it means living or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word will penetrate your heart if you'll let it. You have that choice. I have that choice today, how we respond to it. But if your heart and my heart is hard today, it's going to bounce off of it like water off of a duck's back. And that's the truth, folks. If God's word has no effect on you today, as you consider yourself, others, and God, you are in the danger zone because of your wicked, hardened heart. Pastor John, congregation. Now, I'm going to give you a little litmus test here today. I've got this all written out. I better just go with my program. But put yourselves up in Davenport. You've just exited I-74. Or put yourself in Iowa City. You're coming down Old Highway 6, just getting ready to turn on the Highway 6 bypass to head back toward Muscatine. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here?
No.
Up in Iowa City, usually when I come through town, there will be someone with a can or a sign sitting in the median there. You know where I'm talking about, don't you? Or sometimes you... Jeff, you okay? Village Inn, that's the corner. I've been to Iowa City enough, I think it's the same people that work that corner.
They also sit in front of McDonald's.
That's correct. Now let's go up here to I-74 exit to get off there on 53rd. That's the popular place up in the Quad Cities, right?
Oh, yeah.
You pull off of that exit ramp, or if you go onto the exit ramp to go back west on 74 north up to 80, that's a haven for what? People that are seeking some help. Sometimes we've seen that out here at Muscatine. At the Hy-Vee Street or up on Park Avenue, Walmart, different places. Let me ask you, if you think about that scenario, how do you handle that situation? Now, I'm going to go back to my script because we want to keep this efficient today. So we're out doing our thing. I want to ask you, who do you avoid and who do you respond to that you meet on the street? And why? That's the most important question. Why? Why do you or don't you? Likely for most of us here, we make the first mistake of believing the way we do things is the right and the only way. I'll admit it. I'm an old hard-headed German. But folks, I know that I'm not right all the time. I know that because of what God's Word says. The fact of the matter is, folks, we have a bias for or against certain people and issues. And so how do we handle that? As Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, how do we handle that? Do you engage the person at the stoplight with the sign asking for a handout or head to a different lane? Or just pass by them and not turn and look? You know, when Julia's dog Ralph lived at the farm, Kim quoted this many times. Ralph liked to run away. You know, we rescued him from Muscatine several times. He had a thing about Muscatine, the golden retriever. Some of you have met Ralph in the past. He's now getting quite aged, pretty gray-haired. Ralph was so big that when he'd jump up, his paws would go on Denny's shoulder. But he'd run when we left because he liked to be around us, didn't he, Kim? One of the few critters or people. And Kim, what would you tell me every day? Don't make eye contact with him. We still laugh about that. But I want to ask you the truth. How do you, you don't need to answer me. How do you handle those situations? I will admit to you there's times I have avoided them. There's times I have not made eye contact with them. There's other times I have talked to them. Over in Iowa City, I think they know me because I always have a tract for them. And I ask them, what's going on? And then the light turns and I say, there's something here that you ought to look at. Never not had someone thank me for that. So what's the hang up with this stuff? I better go back to my script. What are your thoughts about this person or situation? Well, they're just a bunch of scammers. Well, I know this. If they're scammers, then they're sinners. And they need the Savior. They're a bunch of scammers. They're druggies. What are they going to do to me? Will they attack me if I stop? They're probably being picked up by a $60,000 SUV at the end of the day. They're probably better off than I am. They don't work. Well, they really do. Begging is even work. But what is it? What's the hang up there that you have that stops us from approaching them about Jesus Christ? And the answer to that, class, is what? We have a
harder.
We have a bias, which is a hardened heart exposed. A hardened heart exposed. But folks, the thing we want to remember, these are people that God loves and Jesus died for. And the problem is, folks, we have prejudged them because our heart has been hardened. You know, Jesus also told this. Jesus said a lot of things. He says, you better not go picking at the speck in someone else's eye is visible to you until you know that the 2x4 in your eye has been dealt with. And we know what the Bible says about judging. But we know this, that all of us are sinners. And I don't care if you're the most saintly Christian here today, you could use an uplift, and so could I, from someone that we encounter on our path. What do you think? Is it true? Did you think to engage them, give them a tract, or a friendly word, or a hand up? What bias do our hearts have in them today that is rock hard? What situations are you in today in your life where you need someone with a tender heart to help you? We want it when we need it. But when it comes time for us to have a soft and tender heart toward others, that's a different story, isn't it? We need to get our act together. It's called continuity. Our walk needs to match up all the time with the Word. That's our goal. Well, anyway, I offer this today, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan. We're not going to turn there. By the way, that's found in Luke 10, 25 through 37. But is that a pretty much apt description of some people with hard hearts? Is it? Yeah. But I would like us today to turn to James chapter 2, 1 through 13. Because this isn't even out and about on the road. This is in the gathering of the church. By the way, this isn't the end of the message. This is just getting us started here. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. James 2, 1 through 13. Here James begins to write to the brethren there in Jerusalem. James was likely the pastor of the early Jerusalem church, a half-brother of the Lord. He says, my brethren, notice this here. He's not saying you people, use people. He's talking to who here? Professed believers, right? He says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. He's telling us right there, we have a problem. We're not like Jesus. We can become more like Jesus. It should be our goal to be more like Jesus. But he says, we have problems. And we need to be aware of it with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, under your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. You know what that means. Filthy clothes, smelly clothes. And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. That isn't what our modern day connotation means there. That would just mean attractive clothing. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in the faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law, by the way, what's the royal law? Do unto others before they can do it to you. No. Do unto others as you would have them. (Clears If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons or you have a bias, you commit sin and are convinced of the law, are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. By the way, Jason asked me about the chains. Jesus has freed me from my chains. But never forget what Paul and others said. They wore a chain for Jesus Christ. They were chained by humans, but they were still free because the truth makes you free indeed. But they still wore a chain for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul being a prime example of that in Scripture. But here it is in 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. A hard heart puts you and I in that category, and it's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Do you have a tender heart this morning towards Jesus and others? Well, if not, I've got a few points for us to investigate this morning. Point two on your outline today is the path to a tender heart is found in the example of Jesus. I've already danced around that this morning, but that's where we go, folks. If you want a model, it's Jesus. It's not what you think. It's what Jesus did. He lived what he taught. He lived what he taught. Go to Philippians 2, 5 through 16 to begin. Philippians 2, 5 through 16. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 16. Paul writes this to the Philippian church. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Where's our mind today? Because you know what, folks? What flows out of our heart shows what's on our mind. And he says, this is the way it should be. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 16. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation. And took it upon him, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You see, folks, what's involved in seeing a hardened heart become pliable again is to make yourself aware of what Jesus did. And let me just say, he gave it all for us. He placed himself in the role of a servant. Who are you and I to judge people? Jesus is the only righteous judge, and he said, what? Come unto me. He didn't disparage people on one side or the other. Jesus' heart was not hard. God's heart is not hard, even though when you do look at certain instances, like with Pharaoh, God has a limit with those things. And as hard as that is for us to comprehend, because God can do whatever he wants, he even hardened Pharaoh's heart when Pharaoh let his heart get hard toward him. Don't put yourself in that position. God has a right to do whatever he will. It's a dangerous place to be. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. So what if that person in the boulevard or in the median goes away in a $60,000 or $70,000 SUV with a big cache of money that they took in that day? He's probably more needy than you are. But maybe you're more needy than that person is too. Because you've lost the touch here with Jesus. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in that position today. I'm sorry I got off on the wrong... Don't let me do that again. Verse 9. Wherefore God hath all... Wherefore also hath highly... Help me, Lord. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's verse 9. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul's saying, live out your salvation. That's what that means. We're not saved by works, but we need to live it out. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings or disputings. By the way, anyone here a complainer in this room? Come tonight. By the way, we have communion tonight, and Jesus says, do this. Maybe when we don't make it for that, that's a sign of a hard heart. Or maybe when we come to it, we have a hard heart, but we go through the motions anyway and sin against God because he tells us to examine ourselves and get it set straight. You see what I mean? This all becomes very complicated, folks, but it can be made very simple if our heart is pliable to the Word of God. Let me finish the text here. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a what? A perfect generation? No, a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Folks, if we're operating with a hard heart, we're gonna regret it. Second point. Luke 19:41. Jesus, on his path to the cross, comes into Jerusalem, you remember? The garments. Hallelujah to the King. But Jesus knew the hearts of the people in Jerusalem. And you notice here in 41 what he said. And when he was come near, what it says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. Have you cried over yourself? Your home, your family, this nation, the people in the median strips in Iowa City, Muscatine, or the Quad Cities, or here in Muscatine, or wherever. Have you been moved to compassion about the plight of people and their relationship to Jesus? That's for all of us to answer. But have you? You know, Jesus was moved by that. Back to Matthew 9:35 through 38. By the way, I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but Jesus taught on this quite a bit. You know, he's been gone out of the picture for almost 2,000 years. And he said at that time, the harvest was ripe. If it was ripe then, what is it today? There's a harvest out there. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. You will not be moved if you have a hardened heart. I will not be moved if you have a hardened heart. But the people were moved, or Jesus was moved into action. And he did come for action. He was moved with what, folks? Compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You've heard this morning. We're all guilty now if you haven't heard it before or responded. There's things out here to do, and you can't do it with a hard heart. Compassion, contrition, weeping over the plight of this world. Rather than just crying, though, about it, do something about it. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32. By the way, these things I'm reading here today come from the Word of God. So we have an option here to respond positively, respond negatively, or don't respond at all. And if we respond not at all, we're still hard-hearted. And it's the same as negativity. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32. We're probably going to be taking a look at this passage tonight in communion. Excuse me. But let's look here, beginning with verse 28. Here's what Paul directed here when we come together for communion. For the fellowship, again, of the believers in remembering what Christ did on Calvary's cross in his body and in his blood. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Paul writes, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or have died. This is the gravity of our sin. Now notice in verse 31, and how far are we going through 32? Here's the remedy. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry, 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If your heart is so hard that you will not even judge yourself, see, what's going to follow? We're going to be condemned with the world. Christians, non-believers that might be here this morning, whatever the case may be, we need to sit down and take account of where we're at. Because this is serious stuff. Believers at Corinth were dying because of their hard hearts. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, confession is made with the mouth. The heart, again, is being made pliable again when we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize I'm wrong here. I'm a sinner. I've got a hardened heart. I confess to you and I ask your forgiveness. And I ask you on the basis of 1 John 1:9 and other places to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness so that the chains fall off of a hardened heart. We need to confess and be cleansed. That's another way to get back to a pliable, usable heart by the Lord. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. By the way, the key there, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How dare you hold things against other people in your hard heart when Jesus already forgave you? We get messed up on this. We need to beg forgiveness, not only from the Lord, but from those that we have wronged. And forgive those that have wronged us. And change our ways. And James 3:13-18. James 3:13-18. James 3:13-18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or lifestyle his works with meekness. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, envying and strife in your hearts is a sign of a hard heart. He says, don't take that to be a good thing. Glory not and lie not against the truth. A hardened heart is a person that is a liar. And the worst thing that you can do is lie to yourself. Now keep me on track here. Where did I leave off? 15. You're correct. 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, that was it. Glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's the picture of a hardened heart. It's not of God. It's of satanic origin. Satanic origin. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Help for the hardened heart. Be warned where a hard heart comes from and looks to. Now we're down to just a few minutes left. So we're going to go to the last part of this message. It's found in Luke 18, 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. Doug read this for us a few minutes ago. Luke 18, 9 through 14. It's another parable that Jesus gave. But what this parable is about here today, and the third point of our message, is a biblical example, and there's several, of gaining a tender heart. What you've got here is you've got two people that Jesus illustrates in this parable. You've got a muckety-muck Pharisee that thinks they're self-righteous and that they've got it all figured out. And there's some keys in this text, in this parable, that Jesus gives. And then you've got another person that is a sinner too, but in a different way. Although sin is all commonality, isn't it? It all has the same. Sin is usually revolving around our self-gratification, our pleasures, rather than the holiness of God and pleasing Him. We could go further on that. But the point of the thing here is this: in this parable, Jesus says, the tax man, the IRS man, by the way, I'm not against all IRS people. They're doing a job. But I am going to caution anyone, no matter what you are today, if you're a Pharisee here, do you believe that there are still Pharisees in the Christian realm of things? Well, the office is no longer there, but there's a lot of Pharisees out there. Probably every one of us in this room could claim that too at times. Not every IRS person has a hardened heart. But remember, back in the days when Jesus was talking about the publicans, the tax collectors, they could take what was not only due the Roman government, but all they could extort from people. Did you ever know that? In other words, you have a chump here that owes some taxes. Oh, we'll jack that up three times, and the extra part of that we'll put in our pockets. Well, it does seem a little similar today, doesn't it? By the way, the harder you work in America today, the more you'll be taxed. True statement? Well, let's look at the text here. Luke 18, 9 through 14, and we're going to fold her up. Luke 18, 9 through 14. And he, that being Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in them. One of the signs of a hardened heart is if you think you've got it right, just how we started out today. It's my way or the highway. It's the Frank Sinatra doctrine. I did it my way. I fear for where Frank's soul is today. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican or an IRS man. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with. By the way, when you see a lot of eyes appearing in things, even in your speech, it's a sign of a hardened heart. Because who's it about? But I'm not talking EYE, and yes, I do know somewhat how to spell. I can't write legibly, but I... No, it's the eye. I can't do it, but you know what I mean. I can just hear this guy. God, I thank thee that I am not like other men. I'm so much better than everyone else. Isn't that what he's saying here? I'm not like the rest that are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax man here praying in the temple. He's a crook. I'm a Pharisee. I'm righteous. But his righteousness wasn't in the God of the Bible. His righteousness was in himself. Now, don't get us wrong here. The tax man was in the same mode, wasn't he? He was there, going through the motions. But he was a crook too. And let's face it, folks, what's Romans 3:23 say about all of us? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's go on with the text. He goes on to extol about himself. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Let me just assure us, folks, the old Pharisee was all about the external stuff, but he had a hard heart. So did the publican, but it changed. The tax man, 13, and the IRS man, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. Because you know what was going on in the heart of this man in this parable? He was examining himself, and he wasn't finding good results. He was measuring up to what he knew, even in the Old Testament, was God's word. He was out of step with what God wanted in his life. He couldn't even look to the Lord because he said, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be convicted, Lord. I'm out of favor with you. My heart's been hard. By the way, who was one of the other tax collectors in the Bible? Old Zacchaeus climbed a tree. Jesus comes to eat. Zacchaeus does what? He goes out and sets things straight with the people that he wronged because he had a what? He had a new heart given to him, Christ. By the way, if you're here apart from Jesus Christ today, your hardness of heart will not end until you yield to Jesus and he softens your heart. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, salvation means deliverance. You need to be delivered by Jesus today if you're here with a hard heart and never have approached him with his love for you and his willingness to forgive you and save you. Now, let's finish up here. But what's he say there? He just simply says, and he beats on his chest, and he says, and by the way, what does that beating on his chest have to do here?
I'm guilty.
I'm so guilty. I've been so wrong, Lord. I don't deserve anything. But what's he cry out? God, be merciful to me today, a sinner. Remember what we talked about earlier? When's the time that you need a tender heart? When you haven't given one. And let me tell you, every one of us in this room, if we get in a jam, we're looking for a tender heart. God has one yet toward us today. Here's the conclusion. Jesus said this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. By the way, justification is the word and the term for being declared righteous by God. And when we come clean with Jesus, his righteousness is imputed to our sin account. And Jesus no longer sees us as a condemned sinner. He sees us as one who's covered by his blood, his soft heart toward us. And he changes our heart, see? He was justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased or made low, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Folks, it's time we receive a tender heart from Jesus. Put yourself where you belong, in need of Jesus' tender heart. Receive it and go from there. Now here's the conclusion. If your heart is hard, it can be made tender by looking to Jesus and admitting your sin and being cleansed and set on a new course. Now, as an unbeliever or believer, the example is Jesus' compassion for you. How dare we not have it for others? There should be no one here today with a dry eye and not on our knees before Jesus. Because you know what? We'll know today, I'm not going to be looking around at people, but you'll know today as you go through those doors if you left here with a hard heart, when it could have been different. Will you leave with your heart bound for destruction, or a tender heart filled with new compassion for others touched
by the word of God forever. Now is the time. Today is the day. I'm done talking. Now it's time for our response and action. Will you join me this morning? It's actually up on the screen. Are you ready to say, "Here am I, Lord"? Let's stand if we're able today. Are you ready to go to Him today and get this straight and leave here today with a heart that is tender and compassionate toward the needs of those around you? I pray that God will work in your life today. We're going to sing the first and last stanzas of this hymn today. Either at your seats, come if you want to talk and counsel. I'm glad there's others here as well. But remember, when you go out the door today, if you haven't dealt with that hardened heart, it's not going to go away. It's not going to be changed unless you go to Jesus. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Who shall I send with a tender heart? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. Can you say this today? I will hold your people in my heart. We're going to just sing the refrain. Don't let this moment pass today with Jesus. He's brought us to this point. We've heard His word. It's time to respond. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go. Brother Marlon Epperly, thanks for being here today. Would you close our service in prayer, please?